Join us today for Saints and Sinners as we explore the history of saints and their walk from sinner to sainthood, especially those who walked the path of addiction. Let us not forget that every saint has a past and every sinner a future. Your hosts are Father Doug McKay and Ken Johnston.
And good afternoon and welcome to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston, and not Father McKay today. Father McKay is getting a well-deserved vacation, and I'm actually joined in the studio today by friend Nick Jaboni, and we'll explain why Nick's here in just a second. In the meantime, I want to praise and thank God for all of our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, both your prayerful and financial support that's kept us on the air for over 40 years now. Couple of announcements before we get to prayer and Nick. Reminder, if you want an email with the highlights of today's show along with links to the recordings, you can subscribe to my Substack account. That's notsaintsyet.substack.com. Coming up, mentioned thanking you for your financial support. One of the great ways you can help us is right around the corner on Monday, October the 14th. We'll have our annual golf outing. We're headed back to Tallamore Country Club in Ambler, Pennsylvania. It's always a great day. Somehow or other, Kathleen always manages to get great weather, even though it's fall has started. We'll have lunch and dinner with golf sandwiched in between. Plenty of opportunities for fellowship. And we'll have a silent auction. And what we really need are sponsors. If you go to our website at inhissign.com and scroll to the bottom of the homepage, there's a link there to download a flyer with all the information on how to register for golf, come for dinner, and most importantly, become a sponsor. If you have any questions, you can always call Maureen here at 610-527-2906. That's 610-527-2906. Our Matt Talbot Shrine is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays, although it was closed yesterday due to some road work that was being done by the parish. We expect it to be open this Thursday, and again, Tuesdays and Thursdays following daily mass at 8:30 until about 4:30 in the afternoon. If you're going to come down, be sure to get in touch with Father and I through the Our House Ministries website, and we can meet you over in church. Plans are underway for the centenary celebration of Matt Talbot's death, which will take place in June of 2025. Hoping to have details on a pilgrimage to Ireland in the next couple of days. But one of the big projects around that is a feature-length movie that we want to make on the life of Matt Talbot. If you visit matttalbotfilm.com, that's matttalbotfilm.com, you can see a trailer and some details about that project. I think that's it in the way of announcements. We weren't here last week. It's good to be back. And yep, that's it in the way of announcements. So let's pray. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. The following is the prayer for Matt Talbot's canonization. Lord, in your servant Matt Talbot, you have given us a wonderful example of triumph over addiction, of devotion to duty, and of lifelong reverence of the Holy Sacrament. May his life of prayer and penance give us courage to take up our crosses and follow in the footsteps of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Father, if it be your will that your beloved servant should be glorified by your church, make known by your heavenly favors the power he enjoys in your sight. We ask this through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Amen. O Mary, conceived without sin, pray for us who have recourse to thee. O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
O Mary, conceived without sin,
pray for us who have recourse to thee.
And for all those who do not have recourse to thee, especially the enemies of Holy Church and those recommended to you. Our Lady of Recovery and St. Joseph,
pray for us.
Venerable Matt Talbot and St. Maximilian Kolbe,
pray for us.
St. Mark G. and St. Monica,
pray for us.
Our patron saints and guardian angels,
pray for us.
And all the saints and angels,
pray for us.
Thank you, Nick. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. This is a one-hour call-in show. Anybody can call in and join in the conversation. The numbers are 610-527-2906. 610-527-2906, or if you're listening from a distance, we've had callers recently from London and Florida and other points outside the Philadelphia area. You can call us toll-free at 888-34-FAITH. That's 888-343-2484. We'll have our Is That Odd or Is That God segment when we come back from the break at the bottom of the hour. If God's touched you in a particular way in the last few weeks and you want to share it with us, we'd love to hear from you. We've had a handful of saints here in the 25th week in ordinary time. On Monday the 23rd, it was St. Pius of Pietrelcina, a priest probably better known as Padre Pio. On Thursday the 26th, tomorrow, it'll be Saints Cosmas and Damian, the martyrs. On Friday the 27th, St. Vincent de Paul, priest. And on Saturday the 28th, we have St. Wenceslaus, who is a martyr, as well as St. Lawrence Ruiz and companions, who are also martyrs. And with Father not being here, I had an opportunity to think about what we wanted to do today. And I remember my friend Nick Giaboni, he's the executive director of the National Center for Padre Pio in nearby Bartow, PA. Some people, especially our friends in South Philadelphia, it's like going cross country to get to Center City. I can only imagine what it's like to get them out to Bartow. But it is. It's only, and Nick put it into one of the map applications, and it's exactly 59 minutes from the studio here in Rosemont to Bartow. So not all that far, and hopefully by the time this hour is done, we can generate enough interest that you'll want to go out and pay the shrine and Nick a visit. So, are you a shrine?
We are technically a shrine, as in we're a place that people come. We're not yet on the National Shrine Registry. We're working with our bishop, who told us that we should have clergy later this year, and then we'll be working with the United States Conference of Catholic Bishops to apply to become a national shrine status.
Very good. And so even though it's 59 minutes away, it's not in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia, right? So when you say you're bishop.
Yes, it's in the Diocese of Allentown. It's just outside of Philadelphia into Allentown. I live in St. David Parish, Willow Grove. It's an hour drive for me. And I always tell people in that hour drive, the last 3 minutes of my drive are into Allentown. And the two closest parishes, one a mile down the road, is in Archdiocese of Philadelphia, the other one's in the Diocese of Allentown. So we're right there.
Very good. So for anybody that's not aware, Padre Pio is a Capuchin Franciscan friar, lived in southern Italy, died in 1968 at the age of 81. Probably most people know him because of the stigmata. People often reference the gloves that he would wear in order to not necessarily hide it, but just because it wouldn't be a pleasant thing to look at, I guess, especially when offering mass and what have you. Can you tell us more about those wounds?
Sure. So when you talk about stigmatists, people that had the wounds, the marks of Christ, that term stigmata comes from the gospel. It means marked. And in Padre Pio's case, he had the marks in his hands, in his feet, in his side. But he also had marks from the scourging where Christ was whipped. He would bleed throughout his body, throughout his torso, and he would also have the mark of the shoulder wound, which he actually never told anyone while he was alive, except for Pope John Paul II, but that he had the shoulder wound. So, and they not only were marks in that you could see them, but they hurt, they bled, they actually bled more between Thursday night and Friday afternoon, in mimicking the Passion of our Lord, especially during Holy Week, he would have more bleeding and more pain. So they weren't just something that, that he showed off that you could see. They truly were, caused him a lot of physical agony.
I can only imagine. A friend of mine, a priest friend of mine, recently got a crucifix made by a person down in South America. And it shows the scourged Jesus hanging on the cross. And after seeing that, I walk into churches now, and you see it's like a washed version of even though our Protestant brothers, they don't even put the corpus on the cross. At least we see the body of Christ still on the crucifix. But usually there's very little, if any, blood at all. And when you hear that, the pain and the wounds that Padre Pio had, it really is a reminder of how much Jesus suffered.
And it's interesting, Ken, because you said not the gloves, not necessarily to hide it, but actually he was trying to hide it. He wanted very much to suffer for Christ. He was fine to have those wounds, but he did not want the attention from them.
Right.
And so he didn't talk about them a lot. He really did try to cover them. He would take those gloves off during Mass out of respect of not having gloves on for the consecration. So that's actually, we could see almost every day for 50 years, we could see those marks clearly in his hands. But yeah, other than that, he didn't want the attention.
So would Padre Pio be considered a victim soul?
Yes. So when he was younger, we have a statue in our main sanctuary of the Little Flower, who's not a Franciscan, a Carmelite. You know, you would look at it and you would think, why the heck is she there? And she's there to remind us that when Padre Pio was a young man and then a seminarian, she was a contemporary of his. She died before him. And he was very much aware of her. And so he read and encouraged people to read Story of a Soul. But what was most inspiring to her was that she had offered herself as a victim soul for Jesus. Saint Jenna Galgani was also a contemporary of his, died before him. But same thing, those two saints in particular inspired him to pray that he could be a victim soul like them. And he would continue to offer throughout his priesthood. For example, he offered himself as a victim soul for the end of World War I. He offered himself for a victim soul to the end for the Spanish flu that was ravaging through Europe, and just would continue to do that. So, yes.
Very good. What do you think most Padre Pio would want most people to remember about him?
I think, you know, we have all these incredible spiritual gifts of him. And so people know about the stigmata. A lot of people will talk about bilocation. People may have heard that he could do things like read hearts, had gift of languages, so many things. But I think what our boys in World War II, the GIs that met him, the stories that they came back with, I think if you read their letters, I think that's how he would like to be remembered. People that would get to spend days and a week with him, and people would ask them, what was it like? What was it like to be around this amazing saint, living saint with all these gifts? And they all said the same thing. They said, no, that's not what's important. That's not what I experienced. What I experienced was a down-to-earth person. He was funny with me. He was holy. But when I watched him say Mass, it took 2.5 hours, and I thought it was 20 to 25 minutes. Because he was transported to another place. He was in this world and another. He was suffering Christ. And he somehow took those people. They were captured along with him. And the importance of the holy sacrifice of the Mass, that's what Padre Pio, I think, would want us to remember. His own words were, I am a poor friar who prays. Period. That's what he said about himself.
Amen. What an example. You can only imagine the turmoil he would go through as a victim soul, having the wounds, the popularity that he had, and then trying to live his own life. We were talking before the show a little bit about how much time he would spend in the confessional. And I mentioned that recent interview I saw with a priest that went to Padre Pio for confession. He was told he would have to initially wait for 3 weeks and somehow or other managed to get in after 3 hours. Like you mentioned, Padre Pio had the ability to read souls. And so it's like anything else, when people talk about these supernatural things, they take it to the extreme. Like, you know, Padre Pio told them to get out because they didn't confess all their sins or question them on those things. But he would do that. Not, I don't know if he ever did it in an angry way, but he wanted you to be honest in there, right?
Yeah, so the stories are that So Padre Pio, people would come in to try to trick him, skeptics, so they would tell him lies about their sins, and he would tell them to get out and get serious. If you were the most not hardened sinner, if you had committed really grievous sins, but you were sorry, he wouldn't yell at you. He would offer you mercy. He would be very compassionate.
And like we were saying earlier, I mean, he would spend hours in that confessional, and it I mentioned an interview, that same interview I saw where they estimated he had heard over 6 million confessions in his lifetime. I don't know how they came up with that number, but certainly living to be 81 years old and spending anywhere from 4, 6, 12, 16 hours in a confessional hearing confessions, I guess it would add up. But it was obvious that he wanted to dispense God's mercy for him to make that kind of commitment.
Oh, absolutely. And, yeah, I've never seen a number so. But, however, I do know that his whole ministry was he would wake up. He would say Mass. He'd wake up at 3 in the morning to prepare for Mass at 5. He would come out of Mass. He would say his thanksgiving. He would get into the confessional. They would have to drag him out to meals, and he wouldn't always go. And he didn't eat a lot, but that's a whole other thing. But yeah, that was so important to him. He would do it into the evening. You know, it was Mass, confession, rosary. Those were the things. That was his ministry. That's what he promoted to his spiritual children.
One of the people that had a relationship with him was Pope John Paul II.
Yes.
And it would have been pretty interesting to be able to sit down and have dinner with the two of them at the same time, huh?
Absolutely. I did a deep dive on this a couple weeks ago because I really wanted to learn more. And so it turns out that when Pope John Paul II was Father Karol Wojtyła, Polish priest, ordained priest in 1946, a year later in 1947, he traveled to see Padre Pio, and he spent a week with him as a brand new priest. And we don't know a whole lot about their time together, but we do know that it happened, and there's a few things we do know. One, as I'd said, so Padre Pio has this shoulder wound, and he never tells anybody about it while he's alive, except during the canonization process, Pope John Paul II comes forward and says, while I was down there with him, he revealed this to me and told me, you know, that it was a secret. And then there were friars who were cleaning up in Padre Pio's room after he died, and with his laundry, you know, they saw big bloody, you know, stains in the place where that shoulder wound would have been. And one of them actually had a dream or a vision that night that he found that Padre Pio came to him. He was in great pain in his shoulder, and he said, "Is this what this was like for you?" And he said, "You have only a small taste of, you know, what I have experienced." So that was one thing that came out of it. And then the other one, we don't have directly from the Pope, but we have from a good friend of his, an archbishop. He said that Pope John Paul II shared with him that when he was down that week, Padre Pio told him that one day he would ascend to the highest place in the church. And when Father Wojtyła became Cardinal Wojtyła, he thought that was it. He thought the prophecy had been fulfilled. Mm-hmm. He said, "I never imagined that I could possibly be the Pope." But he did. He became the Pope.
So. Yeah, how about that? Came here in 79.
That's right, for the Eucharistic Congress.
Yep. Is it true that he would be visited by demons?
That is true. There's a lot of witnesses to that. The friars who lived with him at night. So Padre Pio did not get a lot of sleep for a few reasons. One of them was that his stigmata hurt. Every time he would go to fall asleep, his stigmata would hurt and ache even more. So that woke him up, and he didn't like to get as little sleep as possible. But also demons would come. The devil would come, sometimes himself. They would take horrible forms. Sometimes they would take forms of, like, his spiritual director looked just like him. So he had to test. He eventually learned that he had to test whoever was showing up to make sure that they were real and not a demon, all kinds of different temptations. But sometimes they would physically hit him as well. We have a blue pillow that's we have a reproduction of Padre Pio's room, his cell up in Bartow, if you come see us. And what that is a reminder of is one time there was a lot of loud banging and yelling going on in his room in the middle of the night. Brother friars came up and they found him bleeding and bruised on the floor, and his head was on a pillow. And they said, "How did your head get on this pillow?" And he said, "Well, the Blessed Mother came and lifted me up and put my head on the pillow." So, yeah, but all kinds. So really good spiritual experiences in that little cell, really bad ones, but he didn't spend a lot of time in there, and I can't blame him.
Yeah. No, I can imagine. And especially we talk about the how he would get up early in the morning for mass, hear confessions all day, didn't take a lot of food, and you know, to be able to wage battle with Satan or the demons must have been quite a chore.
Yeah, I can't imagine.
Yeah. And especially the little demons that we have in our own lives, and I think that's what I think is hard for people to understand, if, especially those of us that don't suffer on a regular basis. You know, we stub our toe or we get a splinter, and you know, we're in agony, and I can only imagine what it would be like to live day in and day out under those circumstances. Obviously, God must have given him the grace to bear it.
You know, I just gave a friend of mine today a book, because after I read biographical books on Padre Pio for a few years, I got a copy of a book that we carry. It's from Italy. It's called, but it's in English. It's called 100 Letters for You. And what it is it's a sample of letters, 100 different letters from all different kinds of writings he had to spiritual children, to his spiritual directors, but in there, it's like I opened this book and I started to read and I was like, oh my gosh, I missed the man. This is the man in his own words talking. But to answer your question, he writes in there about the suffering, but not once have I come across one where he says, please take this from me. It's right. It's always, Jesus, I will suffer more for you. It's unbelievable.
Right. Yeah. So I mentioned in the 5 o'clock hour today, it's the last Wednesday of the month, so it's Divine Will Wednesday, and we'll have Peter DePalma and Mother Gabriel will be here today. Hope you'll stick around to listen. But Luisa Picaretta was also a victim soul, and it was identical. I think they were so in love with Jesus that they were willing to take on anything that he asked of them in order to bring about his kingdom or to save souls or, you know, whatever it was that Jesus was asking them to do. And I often wonder how I would respond, but I think that the grace, and I've known you for a while, the things that have gone on in our own lives, if we go look back, Jesus, God always gives us the grace we need ahead of whatever it is that he's asking us to do. Mm. It's not like he asks us and then, you know, we got to sit there and wait for the grace to do it. It's usually the grace comes first. And so, not that they get it makes it any easier for them, but there's got to be some grace that comes ahead of time that would make them give their yes.
I would think there'd have to be.
Yeah. Yeah. And just like our Blessed Mother, when, you know, all that she was asked, and then she gets the prophecy from Simeon. And I wonder, what did I get myself into? But she was, you know, that grace that she received allowed her to be there through all of Christ's suffering.
And I want to say something. I want to say, so when, as I read Padre Pio in his own words, talking about this suffering, to give some people hope, including myself, like, and a little consolation, he does complain. He never asks for it to be taken, and he says, I will never ask for it to be taken, but he's in agony, and he's telling people he is still in a world of pain, and he is still, I want to use the word, complaining about how hard it is and how bad it hurts, but I'm willing to do it. I will do it for you.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. So whatever it was that Jesus revealed to him made that suffering worth it. Or the love that he experienced from God must have been to the point where, and I think sometimes we experience that in our own lives. We have we're both married, we both have kids, and there's probably nothing that we wouldn't do for our kids.
Yeah,
you know, and so, and you know, we're just human. I can only imagine what it's like to encounter Jesus the way Pio did, and be willing to make that sacrifice.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So let's talk a little bit about the center. It's been out there for how many years now?
It's been in its current location, our first building I'll call it the church building since 1999, and then the building with the museum 2004.
Okay. So 20 years. And what was the inspiration to build it there, or was it somebody's Whose idea was it?
Sure. So I got, give me, how many minutes do I have?
You've got four here, then we're going to take a break.
Okay, I could do it at four. So there's the incredible story of Vera Calandra, our founder from Norristown. And in 1966, she gave birth to her fifth child, who has severe defects of her congenital urinary system, treated down at CHOP. Her doctor is a guy named C. Everett Koop, who goes on to become Ronald Reagan's Surgeon General, treats her for 2 years, and in 68 has to take out her bladder. He actually is just, what can I do to make her more comfortable? She's dying. He goes in. He takes out her bladder. He sends her home to die comfortably. Mom says, no way. She was a practicing Catholic, but I don't think she would say she was especially devout. But somebody had given her a book a few years ago on Padre Pio. She takes it off the shelf. She's desperate. She hears he's more like a miracle man of sorts. And so she prays, and she hears this voice in her head say, come quickly to Italy. Do not delay. The whole room fills with the smell of roses. There's no flowers in the house. Hmm. So she tells her husband, I'm not sure what he thought at the time, Harry, he was a good man, but she had never traveled internationally, borrows uncle's credit card. She's got to take a 10-week-old baby she now has who's breastfeeding, Vera, who's dying, who's 2.5, and she takes 10-year-old Michael, her son, to carry the 10 suitcases they would need to carry the cloth diapers because Vera has no bladder and can't hold anything, can't hold urine. So they take this horrible trip to Italy. It's hot still. It's September. They finally get to Padre Pio. Padre Pio, they get a private audience. She works hard to get it. And Padre Pio prays over the infant, prays over the dying 2.5-year-old, puts his stigmatized hand up to Mom. She had wanted to say so many things to him, but all she could get out was a prayer she made. Lord, please make a miracle that all the people may believe. Doesn't know why she prayed that. The visit was over. They go to go home. As they're going home, the child starts to eat. She's feeling better. She's looking better. She's sounding better. They get home. Now, she had been warned, if you take that child to Italy, you will come home with a corpse. You'll have a 2.5-year-old corpse. Do not go to Italy. Hmm. She makes it home. The child's fine. She calls down to Children's Hospital. Coop sees her, gives her scans. There's a new bladder. Where he had taken out a bladder, there's a new one.
Wow.
1968. That 2.5-year-old is 58 years old and works in the office with me every day. Her name is also Vera.
Awesome.
The child
yeah,
was
yeah, yeah, yeah.
Mom had promised, I'm going to make the world know about Padre Pio. She goes back to San Giovanni Rotondo. Padre Pio died 3 weeks after he healed the child.
Wow.
She goes over there. The place is like a ghost town because Padre Pio's dead. She knocks on the friary door. She convinces them, you need to help me make the world know. Eventually, she gets through to them. She travels the world with the priest who took care of Padre Pio the last 7 years of his life. She gets some relics. She founds a center in the USA, the Philippines, Ireland. She takes care of the cause for Padre Pio in the United States. She's the only authorized person to represent the friars in the United States at this point. So she goes around talking, and people come to feel love for Padre Pio. They give their support. Long story short, we have a big, beautiful center now. It's the biggest shrine to Padre Pio in North America.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
That's awesome. And it, obviously, it's not the only miracle that that Padre Pio has worked, right?
Oh my goodness, no!
Yeah,
I could tell you. I could sit here and tell you many, many stories.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, no, it's incredible, and it's one of those. And I guess we all have our favorite saints, mm-hmm. and you know, I've got mine. I'm working on the cause for Matt Talbot. Have been for quite a while, but until you get. Like you said, do a deep dive into certain areas of these saints' lives. We really don't have a clue as to who they are. So, again, for folks that are listening, my guest today is Nick Giaboni. He's the executive director out at the Padre Pio Center in Bartow, Pennsylvania. Like we're saying, it's less than an hour from Philadelphia, maybe a couple minutes more than an hour getting out of Philly. But if you've not been there, it deserves a visit. We're just about at the bottom of the hour. We're going to take a short break. I'll give out the phone numbers. You can call. Maybe you got a question about Padre Pio or your own experience with the good Padre. Or if you have an Is That Odd or Is That God story you want to tell, we'd love to hear from you. Again, the phone numbers are 610-527-2906, 610-527-2906, or call us toll-free at 888-343-2484. Don't go away. We'll be right back.
experience God gives us, every person He puts in our lives, is the perfect preparation for a future only God can see. My name is Anne McGlone, and I am sharing this inspiration with you today during this powerful radio program, In His Sign Catholic Radio Network, hosted by Kathleen McCarthy. The Lord called Kathleen to prepare us for a future only God can see. This is a program and a radio network which captures, elevates, inspires, and catechizes the hearts of all who listen. Kathleen is preparing hearts through this ministry as she ministers in hospital rooms privately, global conferences, and personal prayer times with individuals who listen and perfect strangers on the street. The Lord is inviting you today to become a faithful listener, for He wants you to set your heart on fire through this radio network. Are you willing to listen in the silence of your heart? This is the question the Lord is asking you. God bless you.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
And welcome back to Saints and Sinners, your host Ken Johnston. And again, I want to praise and thank God for our listeners, and thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign. Father McKay is not here today. He's got this week off, and probably shouldn't say it, but he won't be here next week either. But I have another guest, I think, lined up for next Wednesday that you'll be happy to hear from. Just a reminder that the recordings of the radio shows usually get uploaded by Thursday for the prior week. Because I wasn't here last week, we still got a couple shows from 2 weeks ago that haven't been uploaded, but they will be uploaded by noon tomorrow. And a quick rundown of the Calyx groups here in the Archdiocese of Philadelphia. Calyx Society is a great organization for Catholics in 12-step programs, where our motto is, we substitute the cup that sanctifies for the cup that stupefies. We get together every Tuesday in the Grace Ferry neighborhood of South Philadelphia in our Matt Talbot Chapel at the corner of 29th and Dickinson Street. We start with 6 o'clock adoration, followed by Mass, and then a Calyx meeting. On the third Tuesday of the month, however, we do go over to St. Gabriel's Church, where we have a Matt Talbot Holy Hour, followed by Mass. The next third Tuesday will be October 16th. So we were just in church last week. The Unit at Queen of the Universe in Levittown meets on the first and third Thursday of the month at 7 o'clock p.m. in the Parish Center. They'll get together next on October the 3rd. The Glenside Unit at St. Luke the Evangelist, my home parish, meets on the third Saturday of the month. We join the parish for 8:30 Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. And we will meet on the third Saturday in October, which will be October the 19th. We just met this past Saturday. The Unit at Malvern Retreat House meets on the third Sunday of the month. They have 4 o'clock Mass in St. Joe's Hall, followed by refreshments and then a meeting. The third Sunday in October will be October the 20th. And the Unit at St. Francis of Assisi in Springfield meets on the last Sunday of the month, beginning with the 4 o'clock Vigil Mass, followed by a Calyx meeting. That'll be the last meeting in September of Calyx here in the Archdiocese this coming Saturday, the 28th. So, again, I want to thank you for all that you do for us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio, that allows me to be here on Wednesdays, and all the other broadcasters Monday through Friday from 4 to 6 p.m. here on 800 a.m. or over the WTMR's website. And the ideal spot now is probably the WTMR radio app. It's starting to get dark a little bit earlier now, and I don't always understand how radio works, but they'll be powering down the signal a little bit once it starts getting darker earlier. So that WTMR radio app is a great way to tune in. Again, our guest today is Nick Jaboni from the Padre Pio Center in Bartow, Pennsylvania. But before we go back to Nick, we are going to go to the phones, and we've got Bob. Fruitland Bob, is that you?
Yes, it is, Ken.
How are you, brother?
Very good, very good. Yeah, Padre Pio, you know, he's amazing because I love him because he's a 20th century saint, you know?
Mm.
I mean, I was always fascinated by Fatima because it was 1917 and I was born in 1948. I thought that was close, but Padre Pio, you know, he's of our time. And ironically, I attended a mission given by a Capuchin priest, and he talked about miracles, and he said, well, although there were miracles, God never grew back an amputated arm or an amputated leg. Yet, with this miracle, he grew back the little girl's bladder. That's amazing. I know a lot about Padre Pio, but I had never heard that story. That's amazing. I mean, that's a miracle of miracles. Now, I know a Franciscan priest, whose journey to the priesthood was almost cut short by St. Francis's stigmata, because he was a young seminarian and working in the kitchen, and they were talking about St. Francis's stigmata, so he and his fellow seminarian thought it would be a good idea. They made stigmata cookies. These cookies with the jelly in the middle representing the wound.
Man.
And they almost got kicked out of the seminary.
Yeah. I would imagine, Bob.
Yeah. Well, you know, he thought it was just a, you know, he didn't know. You know,
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
But they found it very offensive, so he almost lost his career as a priest before he got started.
Yeah, so I wanted to comment there with what you said about Padre Pio being a modern saint. So when I go out, I was at a men's conference a few weeks ago, and when I do that, you know, I have guys of all ages. So I have some people that 1968 seems like an eternity ago. You know, if you're 25 years old, can you identify with that? And what I'm, you know, what I'm reminding them, you know, this guy is so modern. So we have more pictures of Padre Pio than any other saint because he had the stigmata for 50 years. We have video of him. We have audio recordings of him. And 1968, to give people perspective, what's going on in 1968? Well, in 1968, Bobby Kennedy enters the presidential race and then is assassinated.
Right.
Martin Luther
right.
King is
right.
assassinated. The next right. year, we put a man on the moon. Woodstock is happening. You know, so there's it really is very modern when you look at the big, you know, the big scope
absolutely.
Of things.
Absolutely. Yeah. May 12th, 1968 was a Mother's Day. It was a Sunday. I was wounded at 7 p.m. in Vietnam in the head. 122-millimeter rocket killed the guy next to me, and just, you know, I got shrapnel in my thick skull. Yeah.
Thank you. Well, first of all, thank you. And I do usually remember, I'm a little nervous because I'm on the air here, Bob. But so
right.
I do usually, one of the things I mention is, you know, we have the real escalation of the Vietnam War that year. I mean, and Padre Pio loved GIs, by the way, loved Americani, loved our soldiers, loved the America. Right. And just thank you so much for your service.
Oh, yeah, well, if you talk to Ken, the head wound will make a lot of sense. It explains a lot of things.
Yeah. Hey, Bob, how long? And I've probably known you for over 10 years now. And,
oh, yeah.
And that's the first time you've shared that, brother. I appreciate it.
Oh, really? Oh, wow.
Yeah,
that's
yeah.
That's how Harry and I
But Marines. Like you said, it does explain a lot.
Yeah. Yeah, but I love Padre Pio because he is so modern. He's one of us, you know what I mean? And you know, so many Protestant things, like, they think that the miracles ended with the apostles. They there's a lot of different ones, like, you know, my sister's with the Jehovah's Witnesses, and they believe that all miracles ended with the apostles. You know, I mean, there are still miracles today, you know, in Padre Pio. I mean, like, you know,
Probably the greatest Padre Pio biographer was a Lutheran minister named Bernard Ruffin. He wrote a book that AWTN has called Padre Pio, The True Story. It's amazing. It's the definitive biography. He was a believer.
Well, I'm getting goosebumps just as you talk about it, you know?
Yeah. All right.
I'll let you guys go.
Yeah, it looks like you're going to avoid the worst part of Helene. Is that right?
Yeah, the sun always shines on me. You know, they appreciate me being in their mobile home park. You know, there's good bugs here. Don't worry.
I'm sure. All right, brother. Always good to hear from you. Thanks for the call.
All right. Yep.
Take care. Bye-bye. You too. And we got one other caller on the line. Another regular. Hello, Frank. Frank, are you there? Hello, Frank. Yo, Frank. He's listening to the radio. Oh, well. Frank, you there, bud? Maybe he'll call back. Anyway, is that odd or is that God? If you want to give us a shout, 610-527-2906. We had a great Calyx meeting last night, and we're wrapping up a book by Dan Burke called Finding Peace in the Storm. And is that odd or is that God? But Dan Burke's supposed to be my guest in the 5 o'clock hour next Wednesday. And definitely a show you're not going to want to miss. That book's excellent, and a lot of the work that he's does around spiritual direction, and especially Carmelite spirituality, you want to be tuned in for that. Frank, if you're still listening, you can call back, brother. We were hollering out for you. I could hear the radio in the background, but I guess you couldn't hear me. But our guest today, again, is Nick Jaboni. He's the executive director of the National Center for Padre Pio in nearby Bartow, PA. And I guess nearby could be anything, depending on how much you like to drive. For me, even a day's journey can be nearby. So, and it's interesting because it's like I mentioned, I've been there once. I took the vice postulator for Matt Talbot's cause out there in 2014, and it's 10 years ago. And I got to go back there. So I'm glad you're here, and it's just a reminder of these things that we have right in our own backyard. And so many people, especially Catholics, aren't aware.
When I go around the country and I invite people to come see us who are Padre Pio devotees, I say, by the way, if you come to Philadelphia, you're not going to believe what we have in terms of shrines. Just the shrines. I mean, we have St. John Newman was the first. He was not American himself, but first saint, I believe, canonized in America, and we have his body right here. St. Catherine Drexel, we have her in the Cathedral Basilica, and we have her body right here. The National Shrine, these are all national shrines, by the way, National Shrine of St. Rita of Cassian, South Philly, and grab a cheesesteak while you're there.
Yeah.
Then an hour away, you have Częstochowa, right? That's a national shrine, big, beautiful shrine. You have our shrine, where they're all within an hour. I mean, you could stay here for 3 days and have an amazing Catholic experience.
And you didn't
here.
Even mention the Minor Basilica.
The new Minor Basilica, where I used to work. which is absolutely beautiful, breathtaking, historic basilica. In Philadelphia also. Forgive me if you're listening.
It's awesome. And then hopefully one of these days we'll get a diocesan shrine to start for Matt Talbot, and who knows, maybe one day it'll be the amazing National Shrine, but we've got a long way to go. It looks like Frank managed to call back. Hello, Frank.
Hey, Ken. I think Father Doug didn't want me calling in if he wasn't in the studio.
Probably not.
Disconnected. I heard you, but you couldn't hear me.
Yeah, how you doing, brother? How's things this week?
Well, not good. But this may qualify as odd. Last week, maybe. I said it may be. Last week, I couldn't wait to talk to you on Father Doug. Great story, but it was a repeat. And I forget what it was. It was so great, I forget what it was. But it was a repeat where I heard Bob from Florida and Nick, Lou's brother.
Oh, yeah.
That's the one I missed. I called in the very end of the show. I never heard you before. Called back in, so I heard that one last week on a repeat, so that's kind of weird.
Otter God.
I know, Nick, if you're listening, AC Auto Repair, Frankfurt and Trenton. Call back in again, Nick. Yeah. I heard you on a repeat, but never a live one.
we can't announce his AC Auto Repair, though, until he starts sending a sponsorship for the show. I actually had him inspect my car the other week, so I highly recommend it, but we're not going to pass that information along until he starts writing us a check.
I didn't know you go there.
Yeah.
He's a great guy.
Yeah, absolutely.
I just know, but the whole Campione family's great.
Yeah.
His father had a body shop up on York Street a long time ago.
Yep.
I took my car there. But I couldn't wait this morning to tell you and Father Doug about Matt Talbot. but you heard about it already. And also about Padre Pio, did you ever hear of Father Stephen Wetzel?
I have not.
Yes, yes. Father Stephen Wetzel, who was the oblate, the chaplain police in Philadelphia. He was a good friend of ours.
Yes, he passed away about 3 years ago. It's Father Jim McNoon now, Father Mackey goes by. But Father Steve Wetzel, we talked all the time. He was a Padre Pio fan. And he always told me, Frank, pray, hope, and don't worry. Pray, Frank. I mean, come on, Father, Frank. Pray, hope, and don't worry. Yeah. I never forgot that.
Amen.
He's a great guy, Father Stephen, and of course, Padre Pio.
Can I tell the quick story about Father Wetzel and his passing? Father Wetzel had, I don't remember what happened, if it was maybe a stroke. He had some kind of a major event. He was put in the hospital, and we had given him a relic of Padre Pio. And he was starting to do a little better. And I'm going to try to tell this without breaking down. A young girl came into the hospital, and he was made aware of it, and she was dying rapidly. And he said, please give her this relic, and she lived, and he died. And it happened pretty quickly.
I never heard that.
That's kind of how how Father Steve lived. He was amazing.
I never knew. I knew Father Steve. That explained anything, because he was bad, but then he was doing good. And all of a sudden, boom, he was gone.
Yep, yeah, that's what we were told.
Wow.
All right, oh, Frank. Yeah, crazy, huh? Always good to hear from you, brother. Father McKay won't be here next week either, so
I got that. And Ken?
Yeah.
I always thought you were an heir to the Johnson & Johnson, but you're Johnson & Johnson.
Yeah. Nope. That's how I stay impoverished. All right, brother. Going, yep, be good. God bless you.
Say goodbye.
All right. And we've got Mary over on... back on the other line. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Ken.
Mary DeAngelis.
I just got in the house, and I turned on the show, and I see you have someone there.
My friend Nick, that works, he's
someone there from Bartow.
Yes, hi, Mary, how are you?
Hi, this is Mary DeAngelis, and we have so many devotees here in South Philadelphia of Padre Pio. It's been for years and years. In fact, back in the 70s, I want to just share this one incident that was, like, miraculous. We also had the Legion of Mary in the 70s for about 5 years, towards the end of the 70s into 80. Holy Spirit Church here in South Philadelphia. And representatives came from Bartow and brought the first, the glove, you know, the first relic glove of Padre Pio. We had the film, and it was such a wonderful, wonderful night. We even did a pilgrimage there from our church.
Oh, wonderful.
And we used to visit the homebound 2x2 each week. And this one woman, she was so devout. She had such a... she was so devoted to Padre Pio, as all, you know, as we all were. And she shared a story about... or her life, where she was dying in St. Agnes Hospital. They didn't expect her to live. And she was praying to Padre Pio. And during the night, she opened her eyes, and she saw a priest, a monk. He had the brown garment with the hood, and he was praying the rosary at the foot of her bed.
I believe that.
Next morning... she wasn't able to speak, but the next morning she asked one of the Franciscan sisters there, who were in charge at the Hospital of Pastoral Care, asked who the priest was that made the rounds during the night, and she didn't understand what she was saying. She said, we don't have any priests that go around. And so she said to us, that was Padre Pio at the foot of my bed praying for me, and she was healed instantly. I mean, she just regained her health and went home.
Wow.
There she was in the 70s there for us to meet and greet her at her home every week and her family.
That's a great story.
It was a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful experience, and I just wanted to share that with you.
Thank you. That is one that I will share with others, if that's okay.
Yes, sure.
Yeah. Thanks, Mary. And for our listeners, this happened in the 70s. So it would have been after Pio died. So we're not talking about necessarily by location, but a visit he
but could a make. Visiting, yeah, yeah right yeah. after his death.
Yeah, no, that's awesome. That's awesome.
So, you know, we've heard so many people talking about miracles that they received, you know, from our parishioners or whoever we went to visit, how devoted they were to him.
Yeah.
And it's such so beautiful. I have pictures of him all over in my basement here. I love him.
Yeah, very good.
And he's powerful.
Yep.
And God is good, and I'll end it with that. Okay.
All right, Mary. Thank you very much for the call.
Thanks.
All right.
Hope our paths cross soon.
God bless you.
Yep, you too. Bye-bye now. All right. Looks like the phone lines are cleared. So, again, our guest today is Nick Jaboni. We've been talking all things Padre Pio. He's the executive director of the National Center for Padre Pio in nearby Bartow, PA. We've covered quite a bit about Pio. What are some of the things that might be coming up at the center? I know we had a busy Monday, and like you were saying, the days leading up to it because his feast day was this past Monday.
Yeah, sure. So, yeah, we just had our novena of Mass. Every year we have an annual novena in anticipation of his feast day, which is September 23rd, and then September 23rd is our big day. And probably over that feast day weekend we have every year, we probably have about, I guess, 1,200 people a day through, you know, the Saturday, Sunday, and the Monday. So we're in cleanup recovery mode right now. It's been great. Every year, all of our events are on our website. It's just padrepio.org, padrepio.org, and you can look at our full calendar of events. If you want to come up to the center, the masses that we have every month right now. We have the first and third Saturday of the month and the second Wednesday. On that third Saturday, we have a Padre Pio prayer group that meets, and you can come up to see what it's all about. There's no commitment. You can just come for the day, but it's a great way to get to know Padre Pio a little more deeply. But if you take a look, you'll see we have special events planned all throughout the year, and we just got really good news. So we don't have any priests right now that live in residence. So all the masses we have, it's priests that come from Philadelphia, from the Diocese of Allentown, from Harrisburg. They all kind of take turns for masses and confessions. But we just got news from our bishop that we're going to be allowed to have some priests that come to live there in residence, and we're interviewing different orders of priests and things. It's kind of exciting. Hopefully that's going to happen by the middle of next year. I would say by the summer, we're getting the rectory prepared for them. And then, you know, any time you come. But if you're not sure, give us a call. We'll be happy to fill you in on what's going on, or check out that website, padrepio.org, and we can help set up a little pilgrimage for you or for a group. You can come by yourself, or you sometimes parishes like to come together, as Mary, our last caller, talked about as well.
Yeah. Like I said, I've only been there once, and after being with you today, I'm definitely going to have to make another trip. Maybe we'll put the field trip together for some folks from Grace Ferry and come out and check it out.
Yeah, if people like relics, like people get really excited if we come to a parish and we bring a glove with us. We, like I said before, we have the largest collection of relics and artifacts of Padre Pio outside of Italy. We have a huge museum full of them every day after the 11:30 rosary, which you can join us online for, the rosary and the Chaplet of Divine Mercy, if you want to pray it with us. Go to our website. You'll see it on Facebook and YouTube. But every day after rosary, we have one of Padre Pio's gloves right there that you can come up and venerate and pray with. So it's, if you like relics, we have plenty.
Yeah. And do you allow people to touch things to them?
Yes.
Yeah. So I know when we had like the first class relic of Matt Talbot, when Father Lawless was here, people like to touch their rosaries or, you know, something else to those items, because then they automatically become a third class relic that they can take home.
Yeah.
So, you know, you mentioned the glove. How many gloves? Can I ask how many gloves you have?
I honestly don't know, Ken.
Yeah?
I
no, and I'm just curious because
no, I really don't. I can tell you, I know we have. There's there's, because we do different things, right? Because we do go around, we do travel and take relics to people. We have, and for security reasons, we honestly don't keep them all, you know, everything there.
Right.
And we swap things out, you know, so for the public to come and see different things. But every day there is a relic available, a glove relic available, to the public after our rosary, and then we have first-class relics over in our museum as well. We have pieces of cloth that cover his side wound. We have things that he used and wore, and pieces of cloth that covered his, you know, all kinds of different things available for people to see.
And open 7 days a week?
Yeah, we're open from 9 to 4:30 Monday through Saturday, and then we're open from 11 to 4 on Sunday.
Very good. So, especially in the fall weather, now that it's cooled off a little bit, it's probably an ideal time to...
That's beautiful. We're on 106 acres just into Berks County up there, and it's absolutely gorgeous. And they made the place to go. They made the place to look like it's in San Giovanni, so that like you're going up the hill, like you're going up the mountain. So it's just rolling hills. It's absolutely beautiful.
Right. And Patrick just flashed the board. Just to repeat the masses again, it was the...
Sure, it's the first and the third Saturday of the month, and then the second Wednesday. And I would ask that you would check. Sometimes the times will change, so check on check the website or give a call. So PadrePO.org or 610-845-3000, 610-845-3000. But everything's there on the website at PadrePO.org.
Very good. You know, I'm sitting here thinking, it's like, why didn't we do this 7 years ago or 5 years ago? We waited this long, and probably only because Father was on vacation. It's like, I don't even feel like talking myself for the whole hour. So I really do appreciate you taking
my
the time
pleasure.
To be here, and especially in the studio. Patrick knows, he's been my engineer for a long time, and we rarely, if ever, get anybody, never in the 4 o'clock hour, and occasionally in the 5 o'clock hour, the guest will come in. So it's been great to have you in the studio.
Yeah, it's fun.
Yeah, I got 2 minutes left. Anything that we haven't covered that you want to make folks aware of?
I don't think so. I think, you know, in terms of us and of coming up, I think we've covered it pretty good. In terms of Padre Pio, I would just say, you know, Padre Pio was always asked, why do you have all these gifts and signs and stigmata and everything? He said, I don't know. I'm a mystery unto myself, but I know that people are drawn to me. These stigmata are kind of like lures. And then when souls come to me, I lead them to Christ. And I think whether you're already, you know, a believer or whether you're not and you're just kind of curious, get to know Padre Pio, because he will always lead you closer to Christ.
Amen. And that's what all of us should be doing. That's why we're here on the radio Monday through Friday talking about our faith in our Lord. And it's not only does it reinforce our own faith, but... hopefully you get some tools and ideas of how you can share this faith with other people, especially in this crazy world that we live in today. And, you know, we say it all the time, especially in this show, because we talk a lot with recovering folks from addiction. And everybody out there is looking for God. It's just most of them don't know that that's what they're looking for. You know, they're trying to find that joy and happiness and everything but God. Hmm. And we're wired for him. And so... that's why we talk about the saints and how they led their lives in order to, you know, how they got close to God. And not that we're supposed to imitate them. You know, one of the other shrines that we didn't mention yet that just became a diocesan shrine, hopefully a national shrine someday, is the Carlo Acutis Shrine
right
out
in
Malvern. And, you know, Carlo Acutis was one. I was sharing this with guys the other day, and they really couldn't believe that a kid of 15 years old would come out with this. But most of us... we're all born unique, and most of us die as photocopies, you know? And, you know, so while we want to imitate the saints to some degree, obviously we have the, you know, devotions, and we can do some of the things that they do, but all that should help lead us to whatever it is that God has uniquely created us to do. And no two of us has the exact same role. I don't think either of us thought that we'd have these roles and be doing what we're doing today. But it's amazing when you open your mind and your heart to God, what he can do with us. So the hour, Nick, has flown by, man. Thanks again for coming in to the studio.
Pleasure.
Again, it's Nick Jaboni, the executive director of the National Center for Padre Pio. Hopefully you'll pay him a visit out in Bartow. And we've still got another hour to come. Again, it's Divine Will Wednesday, so I already have Peter DePalma and Mother Gabriel on the line. So we'll take a short break, and we'll be joined by them when we come back. Don't go away.